Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
How many of you got a smartphone with you right now? Would you lift it up? You might have to close Instagram quickly. How many of you know with me that this phone has great capacity, but if you've ever been in that awkward moment where your battery has died and you are without a charger, apart from the stress and the angst that it causes, you also know that this thing is useless. It has great capacity, but if the battery dies, it can do nothing. God has created us with great capacity. But if our spiritual battery is dead, we can do. The Holy Spirit is the charger that you always have with you. Ever been in that moment where you haven't got a charger and you're like, I'm down to 2% and what am I going to do? What Pentecost means for us, church, is that the spiritual charger of our lives, the Spirit of God, is with us every single day and every single moment of our lives. We've just got to plug into Him. We've just got to plug into Him. God gave a promise in Ezekiel, way back into the Old Testament now, speaking through His prophet Ezekiel, the Spirit of God speaks about the Spirit, His Spirit, to the people of God. And He says in Ezekiel 37, verse 14, I will put my Spirit in you, in you, in you. Everybody say in you. And you will live. This was thousands of years before the Holy Spirit was poured out. We are living in the age, Pentecost means we are living in the age where the Holy Spirit is in us. Not just upon us, but in us. Why? Because when Christ ascended, He said, stay in Jerusalem, wait there until the Spirit is poured out upon you and in you. And those first followers in that upper room, they set the world aflame. If you are hungry for God, if you, as Pastor Ken said so well last week, if you are thirsty, if you feel like there's got to be more to this life, if you are in a state where you're dissatisfied with your spiritual life, if you are a person who thinks to yourself, God, I don't know how I'm going to get through the next few weeks unless you help me, I want to say to you, you're in good company and you're in good space because you are spiritually thirsty, spiritually hungry, and God's promise is for you. I will put my Spirit in you and your battery will charge. Your battery will come alive. That's the whole point of the Spirit's power in our lives. Are you with me? I want to say this to you. The Holy Spirit is Jesus's greatest gift to us. The only thing better than Jesus with us is the Holy Spirit in us. We are living in the age, in the dispensation. We are living in a moment in time that is the most privileged time in history. Not in Old Testament times, not even in New Testament times when Christ walked the earth, was the presence of God as powerful. The Holy Spirit in us is a greater privilege than having Christ with us on the earth. That's why Jesus said, it's better for you that I go, because if I go, then He will come. John 16, verse 7. It's best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. But if I do go away, then I will send Him to you. The only thing better than having Jesus with us on the earth next to us is the Holy Spirit in us, because He is the Spirit of Jesus in us. Are you with me? He is God. He is the presence and the essence of God. The Holy Spirit is not the third wheel on the date. He's not the, you know, you go to Easter and Mall on your first date with your girlfriend and you bring a chaperone. He's not that. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, fully God. He is present in our lives all the time. He is the loving presence of Christ in our lives. He guides our decision making. He helps us to pray. He empowers us to speak about Jesus. He leads us in the desert seasons, and he leads us into the desert for some seasons. He is with us in our suffering. He guides us in everything that we do. Scott McKnight, he's a New Testament theologian and author. He says actually the healthy biblical way to think about the Holy Spirit is always in the context of what the Holy Spirit is doing. The Holy Spirit is a doing presence, and he's closer than you think. He's in us, closer than we think. For me, the greatest biblical mysteries are not how Christ could have been fully God and fully man. For me, it's not the mystery of, like, why does God allow suffering? It's not the mystery of predetermination or predestination. I actually think the greatest mystery in our faith lives, church, is how the Holy Spirit's power transforms us. That's what we're going to talk about today. How the Holy Spirit transforms a human heart. That is his chief goal, his chief role, his reason for being in our lives is to make us like Jesus, to make us mini Christs, to transform us from one likeness to another. Have you ever seen Extreme Makeover? Now there's the home edition where they make homes, and then there's the people edition where they transform people. I mean, look how scary the one on the left. The Holy Spirit does extreme makeovers on us. Now I've got good news and I've got bad news for you. The good news is the transformation is way deeper and way more important than what you just saw. The bad news is it can take much longer than that makeover. It takes our whole lives. Speaking about transformation of the heart, there's a story goes about a mom whose child, 10-year-old child, was addicted to sweets. I'm like, when they're 10, they'll be addicted to sweets. When they're 15, they might be addicted to something else. So anyway, she's trying to help the daughter, like, get it unaddicted. She brings her daughter to Mahatma Gandhi. He's not a Christian. And Mahatma Gandhi looks at the daughter and looks at the mother and says, please bring your daughter back in 3 weeks' time. So the mother's very disappointed. She takes her daughter, leaves, and comes back in 3 weeks' time. 3 weeks' time, Mahatma Gandhi calls the daughter over, and he has this very long, meaningful discussion with her, and this little girl's face transforms, and her countenance transforms, and she leaves with her mom on cloud nine saying, he's given me such wisdom to get unaddicted to sweets. The mom's like over the moon. She goes back to Gandhi and she says, thank you so much, sir. But why did we have to come back 3 weeks later? He said, well, you see, 3 weeks ago, I had a problem with sweets. It's like a couple of months ago, a car guard is standing there and he asks for something, and I say to him, I'm so sorry, I don't have any money with me. Except that I did have money with me. And I'm like, why was it so easy for me to lie to him? And why couldn't I just say the truth to him? Speaking about heart transformation, here I am preaching about it, but my heart is needing so much transformation. I'm feeling such good vibes from the side banks, but the center bank So much love and grace here and here. So much judgment from this one. He transforms our hearts into the heart of Christ. There's three things that Pastor Trevor Hudson wrote a fantastic book on the Holy Spirit. It's called Holy Spirit Here and Now. And in that book, he gives us three likenesses of Jesus. Like, because I think the question is, when we talk about becoming like Jesus, what does that actually mean? Like, Jesus wasn't married. He didn't have kids. He wasn't managing a social media thing. His life was very different. Now, I don't want for a moment want you to think that somehow life was easier back then. Every scholar and historian that studied the eras and the ages would say to you beyond a shadow of a doubt, it was way harder life in those days than what life is now. But I've got a wife. I have two kids. I have a very different space than what Jesus did. So what does it mean for me to turn into the image of Christ? What does it mean for the Holy Spirit to transform me into the image of Jesus? And Trevor gives three thoughts about what that actually looks like. Three characteristics of Jesus that we do turn into. Are you ready for them? Firstly, he says we can notice if we look at the scripture that Jesus always remains his own person. He is always fully authentic. He's the same in every space. He's not image managing. He's not airbrushing. He's not trying to impress. He's not caring two hoots what people think. He is who he is. He is on mission. He knows his goal, and he is 100% real and authentic all the time. Secondly, he says, you can notice when you look at Jesus, the likeness of Jesus, what does it look like? We can notice that Jesus' way with people was always birthed out of and motivated by love. No matter his interaction, whether it was the tenderness of holding a child on his lap, whether it was the tenderness or the thoughtfulness of a woman who'd been bleeding for years, whether it was the healing of a blind, whether it was a spiritual discussion with future, whether it was Zacchaeus coming down from a tree, or whether it was Pharisees where he says to them, you whitewashed tombs, you brood of vipers. No matter whether his words were tender or harsh, they were always birthed out of love. So love's the word to write there, right? The first word is authenticity. The second word is love. And then the third one is he says that Jesus had this radical confidence that he was always in the Father's will and always about the Father's business. So I made a little acronym for us. Jesus was all Jesus. He was all Jesus. The A stands for authentic, the L stands for loving, and the other L stands for he was led by the Father. Are you with me? If you want to have a bit of a snapshot today as a follower of Jesus, what does it mean for you and me to become like Jesus? I think those three things are exceptionally good guiding principles for us. It is to grow in authenticity. Have you ever noticed that the people closest to Jesus are always the most humble? They're always the most real. They're always the most down to earth. They're always the ones that don't need people to be fussing and doing, are you with me? Like they're authentic and humble and real and grounded and kind. And then they're loving. And then they're led by the Father. They're not on anybody else's mission. They're on the Father's mission. Anybody want to be all Jesus? Fully himself. No masks, no performance, no filter. Loving, relating to people, burst out of, motivated by love, with dignity, with compassion, led by the Father. How does this happen? How does the extreme makeover happen? How does it happen that he turns our hearts from the guy that can lie to the car guard into the guy who will tell the truth, even if I have to say to the guy, I have got money, but I don't feel like giving it to you today. You know what I mean? Like truth, like authentic, truthful. Or I've got money, but it's for something else. How does that happen? It happens by the power and the agency of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, it's better that I go. So when I go, he'll come and he'll turn you into me. Which is why Paul's language, so if you look in New Testament scripture, Luke's language, Lucan pneumatology, Luke's Holy Spirit language is always, or not always, but very often, the Holy Spirit on you, coming upon you, empowering you. So, Paul's language is the Holy Spirit in you. So Ephesians 5:18 goes, be filled with the Spirit, present continuous. Which is good news, because it's not like you have to wait for Pentecost. It's not like you have to wait for Sunday. It's not like you have to wait for the worship team to get up and then go, okay, here's Sunday, I can be filled. You can be filled on Monday and on Tuesday, and you can be filled before the meeting, and you can be filled during lunchtime. Are you with me? So whether you are facing a massive new season in life, whether you're entering a meeting that's a high-stakes meeting, whether you're awaiting a promotional opportunity, whether you're in a desert silent season and you go, God, I have no idea what's going on. Whether you are facing the biggest challenge of your life or whether you're in a season of celebration and joy, it doesn't matter the season. It doesn't matter the moment. It doesn't matter what's going on in life. Paul's instruction stands, be filled. Because it's when you're filled that he can change and transform us. And I thought about this. Guys, if the Holy Spirit is the agent that changes me into Christ, and if Paul says be filled, then I want to pray for the filling of the Spirit so much more than I do. Reality is I should be praying that Deb's reference, like our devotional time. I want to pray that every day. Heck, I probably want to pray it 5 times a day. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Can I give us 2 ways to do that today? First is to ask expectantly. To ask expectantly. How many of you know that if you ask with, like, you know, half expectation in anything in life. You know, I mean, take your child that's nagged you for anything. They are not asking with half expectation. They are nagging for a reason. Look at Jesus's words talking about asking expectantly. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, check this out, will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who... So ask expectantly. Now say it again. Ask. How do we ask? We ask. And secondly, we receive thankfully. You know, asking alone, this is the thing. And this is the danger, I think, in our modern sort of Pentecostal type flavor of churches. We can do all the asking and the asking can make us passive. We also have to be active and we have to receive thankfully. Are you with me? Remember when Christ came Resurrection Sunday, he comes and his frightened disciples are in this room and Jesus breathed on them and then he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus did the filling, they did the receiving. Receiving is not passive, receiving is active. May I ask the first 2 rows of all the banks? So grace-filled side banks, judgy middle bank. If you guys, please, in the side holders of your, there are pens in the side holders on your chairs. Could you please grab a pen? And as soon as you got a pen, somebody jump up and give me a pen. I need a pen, everybody. Can I have a pen? I need a pen. I need a pen, please. Can I have a pen? Can I have a pen? No, these pen. I need a pen. The side bank, they're graceful, but they're not getting it. Can I have a pen? No, judgy. I need a pen, guys. Can I have a pen? A pen, please? Okay, I'm going to go to this other judgy side bank. Is anybody here got a pen? Like, I need a pen. I need a pen. I need a pen. I need a pen. How many of you know these wonderful people were all offering me a pen? But in order to receive, you've got to actually receive. Can I have a pen, please? And salam alaikum. You've got to actually. It's not enough to ask and have your hands open. You've got to receive it. Are you with me? Let me give this back to you because pens go missing, eh? Don't scale the pens. How many of you know that right now in this cup is water? Would you agree with me? It's water. It's one agency. It's one substance. Would you agree? It's water. It's just water. Nothing's happened to it. There's nothing going on. It's just good old water. Now, who are the rooibos fans in the house? Okay. Who are the fancy Earl Grey people? Thank you, Pastor Amy. All the snobs in the house, God bless you. Who's a Five Roses fan? Five Roses. Okay, name another tea that you love. Joko, I was waiting for it. You know Joko is going to come out on the East Rand. Do this object lesson in Sandton, and they're like, what's Joko? Same cup now, different drink. Do you agree with me? Same glass, different drink. Transformation happens, and now everyone can taste and see that transformation has happened. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us. This is what he does for us. It's Pentecost Sunday. It's the birthday of the church. It's the day when we remember the Holy Spirit is closer than we think because he's in us. What's his role? To transform us into the likeness of Christ. What does the likeness of Christ look like? It's all Jesus, authentic, loving, and led. Would you say it with me? Authentic, loving, and led. How does he do it? He does it when he fills us. How often can he fill us? Every moment of every day. How often should we ask for it? Every moment of every day. What do we do? Ask expectantly and receive thankfully. Come, would you stand with me for a moment? As we do so, I want to read a text, and it's an exceptionally important text. For those of us who are wanting to go deeper into this this week, maybe as you study and as you think, I want to give you something to study this week. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, for the Lord is the Spirit. Such important theology that the Holy Spirit is not the third wheel. He's not the minor partner. You with me? Where does that theology come from? It comes from that. The Lord is the Spirit. Which is why Jesus said, it's better that I go. Because if I don't go, he can't come. But when I go, he'll come. And he is the presence, the indwelling presence of Jesus. And he says, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I'll put my Spirit in you and you will live. Amen. If where the Spirit is, there's freedom. How many of you want the Spirit fully, fully, fully in your life? Why? Because there's freedom. Amen. And so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. Thrive Church, I just want to say to you, you are becoming more beautiful Sunday by Sunday. because the veil has been removed and the Spirit is working in you, and you are increasingly, and I am increasingly, reflecting the glory of God. And guess what? Next Sunday will look even more beautiful. I really hope so. Daniel and Leandri, they're wonderful people. I want them to experience a more beautiful church than even this week. Can you say amen? And guess what? On Monday, you'll look more beautiful than you did today. Why? Because you're reflecting the glory of the Lord. And here's the landing point. And the Lord, who is the Spirit. I love how Paul reminds us of that twice. Do you notice that twice in this text? The Lord, who is the Spirit. The Lord, who is the Spirit. He makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. It's the reason why our church is so beautiful. It's the reason why you can go to any Spirit-filled, Bible-believing, Christ-centered church and feel that the people are beautiful because they are being changed into Christ. Would you pray this prayer with me? It'll be on the screen. Let's pray it together. I'll lead us. 1, 2, 3. Spirit of God, Lord and giver of life, moving between us and around like wind or water or fire. Breathe into us your freshness that we may awake. Cleanse our vision that we may see you more clearly. Kindle our senses that we may feel you more sharply. And give us the courage to live as you would have us live. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's take a moment and pray. For any one of us who comes to a believing faith in Jesus, the promise is that the Holy Spirit fills us immediately. And this morning, it will be my great privilege to invite those of us in the room who've never said yes to Christ, who've never made a decision to follow Him, to make Him Lord, to make Him our Savior, to trust Him to save us from our sin and to lead us in our life and to lead us into eternal life. If you have never made that decision, or perhaps you did years ago, but you've gone weird and wonderful ways in life since then, while we're in this moment of prayer, it'll be my privilege to invite you to say yes to Jesus. And the way I'll do it is in just a moment, I'll ask you to raise your hand on the count of three. That's so that I can see you and say thank you and pray for you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to make you come to the front or anything. I'm going to see you, say thank you, and then I'll pray for you here from the platform. If that's you this morning, I invite you to respond on three. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Hands up across this place. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Just keep your hands up so I can see you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I can see you. Thank you. Thank you. I can see you. That's awesome. Thank you. You may take your hands down. Father, in these moments, we thank you for your great love for us. Every person who's raised their hand right now, under the sound of my voice, let me help you with some words and you can pray with me. Thank you, Jesus, that you loved me so much. Thank you that you gave your life for me. Thank you that you died for me, that you live for me right now. You're at the right hand of God the Father, helping and praying for me. This morning I say yes to you and I ask you to forgive me. Cleanse me and fill me with your Holy Spirit right now in this place, in Jesus' name. Everybody in 8th City who's grateful for the Holy Spirit's work amongst us, so many people who responded this morning, can you say amen?
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website, and for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.